It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, your host for the program, and it's so good to join you today for some more verse-by-verse teaching from the book of Ephesians. Yesterday, we started this great book that holds a lot of the tremendous doctrines. It's the book that teaches us about spiritual warfare, to put on the full armor of God. It's the book that teaches us about our relationships in our home, for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church, for wives to submit themselves to their husbands as unto the Lord, and children to obey their parents. A lot of great teaching in the book of Ephesians that we're going to cover over the next few weeks. And it's just a great book. I'm so glad you joined me for the program today. I want to pick up today with verse 15. Yesterday we taught where Paul said, "We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, that he chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." And today we pick up with verse 15. It says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Now, our prayer walk should be a very important part of our life, spending some time each and every day with our Heavenly Father in prayer, communicating with God. Prayer is not some religious duty. Prayer is conversation with our Heavenly Father. And Paul's saying here, in his conversations with his Father God, he constantly gave thanks for the saints in Ephesus. He said, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." So Paul's request for his friends in Ephesus is that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So what? So that they may know God better. What a wonderful prayer to have for a friend of yours is that they would come to know God better. They would understand his plan for their life. Paul goes on to say, "I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints." Now, this is the passage of Scripture that talks about the eyes of the Spirit. In 1987, I was going through a very dark time, a difficult trial in my life. I was discouraged as a pastor. I was not seeing the kind of church growth that I thought God was going to bring in our congregation, and I was ready to resign. I'll never forget one day laying on my face in the prayer room when I felt God walk into the room, and he spoke to me, and he said, "Keith, the things that you have asked me for, I've given you, but you don't see them because you're looking through the eyes of the flesh." He went on to tell me to look through my spirit eyes, and I would see that he has blessed me with everything I had asked him for. I went on to write a number one hit song called Spirit Eyes, and it said, "When you've gone the second mile and still the road seems long, when every turn you take in life, the road that you choose seems wrong, with darkness all around you and you can't see the prize, that's when you look the way God looks and you see through spirit eyes." God wants you and I to not just see through the natural eyes where we see the problems that we're facing, we see all the things that we're going through, but he wants us to look through the eyes of the Spirit, which is looking through faith. He said, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints." See, the devil wants to fill you with discouragement. The enemy of your soul wants to fill you with gloom and doom. But God wants you to have that hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, you may be thinking today, "Pastor Keith, I'm not a rich person." Well, if you know Jesus Christ, you're richer than most in the world because he has given us a glorious inheritance. We have eternal life through him. He goes on and says, "And his incomparable great power for us who believe, that power is like the working of his mighty strength. Here in the first chapter of Ephesians, Paul says here in verse 19 that God has given us this incredibly great power for everyone who believes. See, it's believing is having faith. When you believe what God says and you act upon that, that is using the eyes of your spirit. And when you do that, that power is like the working of his mighty strength. If all you see is all you see, you're not seeing all that is to be seen. Because God wants you to see through the eyes of the Spirit, to see the things that the flesh can't see. The Bible says Abraham believed God, and he credited it to him as righteousness. See, God allowed Abraham to see beyond what his earthly eyes could see, that God was going to make him into a great nation. God was going to give him a son. Paul prays that the eyes of the Ephesian people would be open and that they could see the power of God that was at work within them. He says that power is like the working of his mighty strength. In verse 20, he starts winding up this first chapter. He says, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given. I want you to know today, the name of Jesus is above every name, not only in the present age, Paul says, but also in the one to come. He wrote these words for the Ephesians, but they apply to us today. This is the word of God that speaks to us, and it's living, it's alive. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion is the name of Jesus, the name above every other name. And then he winds up this first chapter. He says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him, Jesus, to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Are you getting this today? Jesus is the head of the church. It's not just a local pastor. It's not some bishop. It's not a priest or a pope. It's Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. And God put everything under his feet. The devil has to bow to the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is above every other name. Whatever you're going through today, it's under the feet of Jesus. You have victory over that in Jesus' name. Now today we're going to begin chapter 2. Let's pick up with the first verse of Ephesians chapter 2. Paul's talking here about being made alive in Christ. He says in verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You see, he makes it very clear that you didn't come to Christ. He came to you. You were dead. And God came to us in this dead state of sin. And God loved us and revealed himself to us. He gave us faith in order to be saved. He says, you were dead in the transgressions and sins in your heart in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. God's telling us here, before we came to Christ, we were spiritual zombies. We may have been walking around, we may have been breathing, but friend, we were dead because the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Paul tells us that when we were dead, we followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That's Satan, the spirit that's now at work in those who are disobedient. It's so sad that lost people today don't even realize they're following the devil if they're not following God. You're on one side or the other. Paul goes on in verse 3 and he says, all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. The sin in our life was handed down by our great ancestor, Adam, who in the Garden of Eden made that decision to eat of the tree when God said, don't do it. So by nature, we're objects of wrath. It's like the question, are you a sinner because you sin, or do you sin because you're a sinner? It's actually the latter of the two. We're born in to this world of sin. And the Bible says it's by nature that we're objects of wrath. I love the next verse, though. In verse 4, it's a giant leap. He says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Oh my goodness, friend, we could teach for an hour just on that verse. But because of his great love for us. Why are we saved today? Because of God's great love for us. That great golden verse of the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's because of God's love. See, God doesn't just do love. God is love. The Bible teaches us it's his nature. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. A lot of people want to take credit for their salvation, but I want you to know something, friend. God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. It wasn't anything we did. It's everything God did, motivated by his great love for us. He says in verse 6, he says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now, you might be thinking, Keith, I'm not seated in the heavenly realms. I'm down here on this earth. What does he mean by that? He's speaking here positionally. Positionally, we were raised with Christ. When Christ was raised from the dead by the power of God, God raised us also and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. And that's why now he says, you ask anything in my name, it shall be done for you. It says, I've given you the keys, Jesus said, to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose in heaven, it'll be loosed down here. Verse 7 says, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. See, the world can look at us and go, wow, God is rich in grace and mercy. God saved them, so he's rich in grace and mercy. And then verse 8 is that great verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10 are all so powerful. This is what Paul said. These are great verses, by the way, to memorize. Verse 8 said, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You see, this is so far different from the old covenant of the law, because in this new covenant, we're saved by God's grace, and it's through faith, we believe what God said, and it's not from ourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works. You see, the old covenant was totally based on works. 613 commandments in the old covenant that you had to keep in order to get to heaven. But in the new covenant, you're saved by grace. You get something you don't deserve, and it's something we receive by faith. You believe it, and you receive it. It's not from ourselves. Paul said it is a gift of God. Now, let me close with verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You are God's workmanship. You're a creation of God, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And look here, God even prepared in advance those works that he wants us to do. So, friend, this is such an important day on Fresh Oil. We understand that it's by grace we've been saved through faith, and God did it for us. Walk in grace. He loves you.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he He makes His mercies new every morning.